Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. There's a vital organization here on the coast that is essentially made up of seasonal part-timers, or even in some cases, weekend warriors. Yet their mission is one of the most important to the coastal region, as they're tasked with keeping the millions of people who come to the area safe and out of harm's way. But I'm not talking about police officers or firefighters. I'm talking about lifeguards. Perhaps the stigma attached to lifeguards is that of red shorts wearing 20-somethings, leisurely spinning their whistles around in their tower-like beach dance as they peruse over the sunbathers and swimmers on the beach. Or maybe you can't get those images of sun-kissed, fit lifeguards slow-motion jogging down the beach out of your head, a la Baywatch, if you will. But the Ocean City Beach Patrol, widely considered to be one of the most respected organizations of its kind on the East Coast, is much more than stigmas or stereotypes. This week, I sat down with Kristen Hosan, the Beach Patrol's Public Affairs Director, as well as Butch Arbin, the 39-year veteran and captain of more than 200 people that work for the Ocean City Beach Patrol. I asked the captain to talk first about the Beach Patrol's highest priorities.
We break our mission down into three real parts: our education, which is number one, then prevention, and then finally intervention, where we actually go and do something. What makes us unique over all other beach patrols anywhere in the world is our emphasis on education. We have created a lot of materials to give out. We do our safety seminars. We go all over the place where we bring groups in here and we actually talk to them about safety on the beach. So our real big things, you know, there's really three really big things that we concern ourselves with. One is in the water, which are rip currents. Rip currents are the third leading cause of weather-related death, as told by the National Weather Service. And one of the reasons that's so unique is most states in the United States couldn't even have rip currents. So to have it the third leading cause of death, weather-related death, is pretty unique here. About 95% of our rescues are out of rip currents. We don't have a lot of piers, a lot of jetties that people could go sideways into. So in almost every case, it's people being pulled out into the deeper water. And when people go swimming without the beach patrol on duty, then what is normally just a whistleblower, direction with flags, or a simple rescue that we don't even count more than, say, one rescue, we don't even get the person's name, if it happens when we're not on duty, can end up in a tragedy. And the second big thing we have are people that either dive headfirst into shallow water or they ride waves that are breaking on the beach, because, again, a serious neck injury could cause paralysis or death. And the third thing that could cause immediate emergency is deep hole digging if a hole were to collapse. If those three things, if people didn't do that, then everyone would be a lot safer on the beach.
After all these years of living here, when a rip current is around, I can see it, I can sense it. And I know that you have literature on the back of the lifeguard stands, which kind of diagram and explain what rip currents are. But for people that are just visiting, that don't even know what a rip current is, how can they tell that a rip current is on the very beach that their children are going to be swimming?
Well, you're right. You know, for us, that's one of our big training tips with our guards is how to recognize a rip current. That's why we tell people don't go swimming when lifeguards are not on duty, because if the parent or anyone can't determine a rip current and they decide to go swimming at 7 o'clock at night and they find themselves in a rip current, there's nobody to come get them. The best that can happen is a 911 call. A 911 call, the fire department's going to respond. The fire department is at the firehouse. By the time they get there, often it may be too late to save the person. Whereas if the same thing happened during the day and a person is swimming in the area of rip current, the lifeguard simply blows their whistle to get their attention, takes their flags and points them sideways. And if the person follows their direction and swims, they've swam themselves out of the rip current. Rip currents do not pull you under. They take you away from the beach. Most drownings, in all cases in water, result when people never intended to be in water over their head, where they fall off a pier, fall off the edge of a pool, or in the ocean, they start out in waist-deep water and get pulled out into water over their head by a rip current. That person never intended to be in one, and because a rip current is really a river of water running away from the beach, even a good swimmer, like an Olympic swimmer, cannot swim faster than a rip current can pull. So all they simply do, it's like being on a treadmill. You just get worn out, and eventually you can't keep up the pace. You start going backwards, and eventually you're so exhausted the person slips below the level of the water and they drown. If that happens during the day, it's we make 2,000 to 4,000 rescues a summer out of rip currents. It's not a big deal. It's just a simple thing that we do. But when it happens when we're not on duty, again, it's a tragedy. For 3 years in a row, parents died trying to rescue their own children out of rip currents because they were swimming when guards weren't on duty. Every year, people die in the ocean when they're swimming when we're not on duty. And that's the biggest one thing we tell people. If they just listen to one piece of advice, only swim when beach patrol is on duty. And that goes to the other things, too. If a person's doing things like bodyboarding in shallow water, the guard can go down and tell them. We pull everybody out of the ocean in the middle of the day and we do a beach safety seminar. We say, hey, look, here are rip currents, or here's this. Or we tell them what the dangers are if we're there. Again, it comes back to they need to be out there while we're on duty.
Kristen, I want to turn to you for a moment. You know, much of this education mission of the Ocean City Beach Patrol is getting that information to the public, and then once it's there, really helping them understand. So talk about your daily duties of trying to help educate not only the public, but also the lifeguards so they can convey that message to the public.
Right. Well, I help do the literature and the brochures that when the guards do their safety seminars, we have things that we distribute. We have articles every week in three local papers, and each one is a different safety tip. Just about anything you can think of, we do.
And have you found over the last few years in comparison that that message is becoming clearer and is sticking in the minds of people?
Yes, and we try to encourage people to go up to the lifeguard. I mean, Captain said, don't go swimming when the lifeguards aren't on duty. But when we are on duty, they should make it a habit to introduce themselves to the lifeguard so they can tell them about the conditions.
Captain Arbin, I want to talk about something that you've mentioned a few times, and that's night swimming or swimming when a lifeguard is not on duty. The lifeguards are on duty until 5:30 p.m., and certainly it's light out until 8 p.m., 8:30, and obviously, I know personally I like that time in the evening when the sun starts to go down to play on the beach, with my kids and my wife. But a few years ago, there was a debate after a group of Canadian swimmers were pulled out of the water, and we're talking, late night, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. The city council decided not to pass a law or an ordinance banning night swimming. I know that you were in kind of disagreement with that move, and I know you're very vehemently against any sort of night swimming. Has there been any other conversation about maybe bringing up night swimming and being a bit more strict with it?
That original conversation, you're right, it happened at 2 in the morning, and there already was a law in the books that prohibited you being on the beach at all during that time. Most of the time, the people like that to get into trouble. Very often, late night swimming it also has to do with alcohol and things like that. And typically those people aren't going to not do it because there's a law in the books. My problem with the way they were going to do it was they were going to basically say there was no swimming after dark. That sends a false message because we're saying there should be no swimming after 5:30 when the guards go off. 7 o'clock at night, it's not dark, but there are no guards on. And the truth is that there have been many, many more water rescues, water emergencies, and even deaths that occur between the time the guards go off and dark. So that, to me, was the critical part about this. To put in place an ordinance that just banned after dark swimming, if we want to do that, we should ban it after 5:30. But the problem is there are people like surfers and kayakers and windboarders, people like that that can use the ocean safely. I agree. After 5:30, something like you said with your family, being on the beach and enjoying yourself is a great time. People just really shouldn't be in the water during that time. And that's what we're trying to discourage. So my thing is that we just want to get the message out. If the lifeguard's not in the stand, stay out of the water. Our saying is keep your feet in the sand until the lifeguard's in the stand. The idea is, stay on the beach, but don't go in the water. And the same thing's true in the morning. Don't go in the water before the lifeguards go on. And if everybody does that, right now, in my own experience, just in the last 10 years, I could think of a dozen people that would not have died as a result of drowning if they just listened to that one piece of advice. And that's a lot of lives affected. And when I get emails from people where we save a person, we save somebody's grandfather, we save somebody's brother, somebody's husband, somebody's coworker, somebody's son. That person affects so many people. And when a person just disregards, our advice, that's the frustrating part. So that's why I've been so passionate about this whole thing about don't go swimming after 5:30.
Since that conversation about night swimming, have you seen night swimming or incidents related to night swimming, or even just incidents related to any sort of, top three danger on the beach? Have you seen those subside a little bit?
Absolutely. When we hear about incidents off duty, we may not hear about everyone, but usually we do. There has been a big decrease. And when I drive the beach after 5:30, there are less people using the ocean. The message is getting out. Education is our biggest push. And because of that, people are starting to learn that. And then if anything occurs, like, for example, shore break we had when we had the high tide and the full moon last week, shore break was a problem. We pull people together in the middle of the day, a way to educate them. And people do hear things, and they do learn. The other thing we've done, too, which has helped, is when I started on the patrol at 5:25, we got what we called up. We stood up in the stands. The idea was we'd be standing up for 5 minutes, and we went off duty at 5:30. But that's all we did. Well, if you went in the water at 5:15, looked up, saw a lifeguard in the stand, you go swimming around out there, you're busy having a good time. At 5:30, I just get off my stand and leave the beach. You may not notice I left. All of a sudden, at 5:40, you get in trouble, turn around, hoping to get the lifeguard's attention. The beach is empty. Lifeguards have all gone home. That could be a problem. Well, Dennis Dare, the city manager, a few years ago said to me, why don't you ask the people to get out at 5:25? Well, we never thought about it. So we do that now. So we pull everybody out of the ocean at 5:25. So it's very clear that we're leaving. We're going home. Get everybody out of the ocean. Now, once we get off duty, people go back in. But at least nobody's going in the ocean not knowing that we're not on duty.
You're listening to Coastal Connection on 88.3 in Ocean City, Maryland. I'm your host, Brian Russo. We're talking with Captain Butch Arben and Kristen Hosan from the Ocean City Beach Patrol. Kristen, I want to turn to you for a minute. I find it so interesting about the makeup of the Beach Patrol. There's not just, you know, kids that are down here from college. This is a very well-oiled machine of professionals of many different backgrounds.
Well, a vast majority of them are teachers, myself included, and Captain as well. And if they weren't teachers when they began on the patrol, a lot of them have now converted to becoming teachers. So we have I'm going to say maybe 40% of our employees here are working in a school system. We also have a state trooper from Pennsylvania. We have accountants. We have doctors. We have professors. You name it, we have it.
Captain, I know it's a very tumultuous task every year, and one of the challenges that you have is to make sure that there are enough guards on duty when all of the kind of summer help goes back to school or, you know, goes back to teaching school. Talk a little bit about how you navigate through those challenges every late August.
Well, one of the things we've done is probably 15 years ago now, I made a 5-year recruiting and retention plan, how we were going to get and keep lifeguards. The first thing is in our recruiting, we've gotten to the point now we can get as many people tested and hired before this summer is over, before next summer starts. We often have to go out in the wintertime all around the East Coast to colleges on weekends and throughout the winter and test for lifeguards. We haven't had to do that for a few years. The last test we had 18 openings. I had 170 people pre-register. Delaware's having problems getting lifeguards, and we're having a surplus. So the Beach Patrol and being a professional organization and trying to keep our level high really helps attract them. When we get that many people, then I can be more picky and I can say, okay, we only want people that can guarantee they can stay through Labor Day or they can stay through the end of September. So we have some choice. If you have 5 people and you have 10 openings, you better take the 5 you've got, even if they have to leave on August 12th. But what we've done is by building up such a large group and such a quality recruiting program, we've been able to keep them. A few years ago, the city did allow us to institute an incentive program, and the incentive program actually gave an actual per hour stipend for all the hours worked in the critical time, critical coverage. With budgets and all in the city, they've done away with the incentive program, but I think we're still feeling the kind of effects of those days, and our people are staying. Also, they have to turn in their last day. So the idea of being a college student and taking off a week before you go back to college, well, they can do it this year, they're not going to have a job next year, and they know that. So part of it is just saying, look, we expect you to do what you can. I live 4 hours away where the school system I am, so I will drive home that night, work the next week, drive back down Friday night, and drive back here Sunday night again, because that's what's expected. We've had people, one of our part-time people lives in Boston and drives here from Boston to work the weekends and drives back. That's the kind of commitment we want. And once you see that happening throughout the organization, it's kind of hard not to give that commitment, because if you're not willing to give that commitment, you're kind of ostracized from the rest of the people. So we've created an environment here where people want to do this job. You've got people that 85% of our people relocate to work here, means they do not live in the same house during the summer as they do in the winter. And they may be teachers living in Frederick County, living in Montgomery County, living in Pennsylvania. They come from all over. They're still paying mortgages back home, yet get a place down here in the summer. The organization has done that. Not me, but the we of the Ocean City Beach Patrol has that kind of an attraction. People just want to stay part of it. It's a unique group, but there's something that holds people together. And what it is the significance. When you save a life, you are significant to that person the rest of their life. And that doesn't happen in most jobs. And it's a sense that what you're doing matters. It makes a difference. You know, when you return a little lost three-year-old to the mom, you know you've made an impact in that family.
You know, you mentioned you've been with the Beach Patrol for 39 years. I guess what's changed the most in those 39 years? Has it been the people or the quality of the folks that are working alongside of you or the people that you're tasked to save on a daily basis?
Well, the job itself on the beach, it's still one lifeguard, one buoy, and a whistle. Run down the beach, swim out and pull the person in. That hasn't changed since they started the Beach Patrol, except maybe they didn't have a buoy. What has changed is the professionalism of this organization. The level of people that work with me is just the highest it's ever been. I've never worked with a greater group of people than we have in what we in our leadership group than we have right now. And it just keeps getting better because the people want to stay around, and that's the benefit. And that's the one thing the city I don't think really realizes, because they just let the Beach Patrol run, and the type of people they get, we're talking about very professional people. They're still paying us as temporary employees, lifeguards for the summer, which is okay, but they're really getting a high quality employee that they really couldn't afford the quality people they're getting on the Beach Patrol.
So do you think that can sustain this high quality of recruitment and retention based on what the city is able or willing to pay?
Absolutely, I think so, because, you know, although there haven't been increases for many years, and in fact there was a wage rollback this year for new people, that is not the most significant thing with this group. The people that work for the Ocean City Beach Patrol are here because they absolutely love the organization, love the service they're giving to the town, and love working for the town of Ocean City. That's the intangible, you know, and even without raises, I don't think a single person would leave this organization now based on their compensation. The difference is that, you know, none of the people here have it as a full-time job. You know, I have benefits because of my school system job, not because of this job. I have retirement because of my school system job, not because of this job. So whatever I make here, whatever my earning potential is here, is secondary to the general satisfaction I have with this organization and being able to do the role we do. And that pretty much goes throughout the entire organization.
I've seen rescues happen while I've been on the beach for the many years that I've lived here. I've seen a number of them. And there's always that excitement and fear and terror of, oh my God, is the person going to be okay? And there's always that moment when the person is pulled into the shore and the crowd gathers around and they say, okay, everything's going to be okay. And I always find myself looking at the lifeguard. And I always wondered to myself, what is the lifeguard feeling in that moment? So as somebody who saved numerous lives, what do you feel in that moment after you have completed a save?
Well, it's interesting. Not every rescue we make is life and death. When I talk about 2,000 to 4,000 rescues a year, 95% of those people are not at the point where they think they're getting ready to die. And we don't want them to get to that point. But as a lifeguard, you have the rescues you make that you know, okay, well, I helped the person and it's no big deal. It's my job. You get back on your stand, you go on. You might not even remember all those. But every once in a while, you make one of those rescues where you absolutely know, had you not been there at that moment, at that time, when it happened, that somebody would have died. And that is a feeling that just you can't replace with anything else. I've never found anything else that replaces that feeling, you know, as far as the knowing you've done something really good. And again, you've been significant for that person.
Captain Butch Arben and Kristen Hosan of the Ocean City Beach Patrol, thank you both so much for being here on Coastal Connection.
Thank you for having us.